from Lismore calling in, and Sam from the Tweed. Good morning, Sam.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, Sam.
Yes. Look, this year the federal government listed koalas as a threatened species. This is proof that they are slowly becoming extinct, and the current state environmental protection is inadequate. The proposed abolishment of E-zones will remove what scant protection remains for koalas and other important environmental areas. The North Coast has a biodiversity, that is, animals and plants. The ecology of this area is comparable to the Daintree or Kakadu. Can you explain the rationale behind your decision? What scientific evidence did you use to remove E-zones from the North Coast?
Well, Sam, I haven't. First of all, I'd say to you this, that the former Labor government and the current coalition government are as one in terms of protection of biodiversity and conservation around koalas. Koala populations are threatened, certainly in most areas. In fact, there's a state environmental planning policy at SEP 44, which sets in place currently all of the necessary requirements, although we're looking to try and improve the conservation issues around that. In terms of the e-zonings, though, can I just say, what we're talking about here is a different issue. I mean, it can cross over, but the e-zoning is about someone's private land suddenly having an environmental protection zone put over it. Now, keep in mind, there's already SEP 44. There's already threatened species legislation. There's native vegetation legislation. There's a whole host of various protections that we're certainly not going to diminish. In fact, if anything, we'd like to improve, but we just are trying to find a balance where people's agricultural land, cleared land, is actually still used for that purpose in a way that is not constrained by a broad brush zoning just whacked over their land.
Sam, we're actually going to have to move on to other callers as well, because we do have a full switchboard and we won't get to all of them, but Louise has rung in. Good morning, Louise.
Oh, good morning.
What's your question,
Hi,
Mr. Hazard?
Hello. My question is, I recently attended a talk with the CEO at Metgasco, Mr. Hazard, Peter Henderson, and in his talk he stated that they pay a $50,000 bond to the government, which is refunded upon rehabilitation of each CSG well site, but which is, I guess, to cover any breaches. But the problem is, I had a meeting with Thomas George recently, and he said they haven't even gone there, or you haven't even gone there as yet with the list of the costs for any breaches for CSG mining companies. Could you please just list now what those financial costs are so that the listeners are aware?
I have to say, Louise, I don't fully understand your question, but what I would say is this. The Metgasco and CSG and any other mining, and it's not my area because this falls under the mining minister, but I know obviously because I've had to coordinate a whole series of ministerial actions in the last 16 months and a whole five other government departments, I've become reasonably knowledgeable about these issues. And there are issues around when you're going to do any mining at all, and I'm include coal mining, etc. There are requirements for bonds to make sure that the environment is rehabilitated.
Right. My question was really was what are the breaches? Could you just please list what the financial breaches are?
Because the beast
has been unleashed, so to speak, and yet I can't see what the protections are because Thomas had no idea. I'm sorry,
Louise. I'm just not sure what you're saying. The what? Sorry, Louise. Hello.
We seem to have lost Louise. Sorry, Louise.
I was having trouble with that line.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, look, I think we've got Adam here on. Have we got Adam? Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning, Minister. Good morning, Joanne.
Morning, Adam.
I wanted to ask the Minister, look, you obviously know climate change is the issue of this century, and studies in the US and in Australia by Worley Parsons have put coal seam gas life cycle emissions on par or worse than coal. Now, with coal seam gas being a dirty fossil fuel that's 20 to 100 times more potent than CO2, and when we're seeing climate change melting the Arctic at a rapid pace, how can your government credibly call this a transitional fuel?
Look, we are obviously in the business of making sure that we have clean fuels as far as is possible, but we also have to provide the energy and the resources that are necessary for folks at home to be able to live the lives they've become used to. I'm a great supporter, as is the coalition, all of my ministerial colleagues, in terms of trying to get to the point where the cost of clean energy crosses over with, for example, coal. Coal is a lot cheaper energy producer at the moment. I was actually involved very closely in this for a number of years because I was a shadow minister for the environment and shadow minister for energy. And unfortunately, the crossover is not available probably for another 15 to 20 years in terms of the cost basis. But we are doing everything we can at the moment to try and develop clean energy, as well as ensuring that people get power that's at a reasonable rate. And that means accessing all of these energy opportunities, provided we also make sure that the safeguards are in place. That's certainly what we've done in these first 18 months, Adam.